You're listening to the Bill Simmons Podcast presented by FanDuel. FanDuel Sportsbook is the best place to bet on the NBA. We have these fun little Tuesday, Friday player performance stuff. We have same game parlays. We have picks for me sometimes and boosts and all kinds of fun things. Get ready in the playoffs. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today to get in on the action. And by the way, The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit theringer.com/RG to learn more. Listen to the end of this episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus, present in select states. Game problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. Coming up, all hell breaks loose in Denver. I'm at the Masters. This podcast is nuts. It's next.
So klingt Weihnachten bei Rewe. Jetzt festlich sparen bei deinem Weihnachtseinkauf. Diese Woche bei Rewe, Ferrero Rocher, je 200 Gramm Packung, nur 2,79 Euro. Außerdem Mionetto Prosecco Spumante Doc, je 0,75 Liter Flasche, nur 5,99 Euro. Festlich sparen bei Rewe. Dein Markt.
We're also brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network. If you liked White Lotus, go check out Prestige TV. Go check out The Watch because we covered everything that happened in the season finale. I put up a new Rewatchables, The Saint, that went up over the weekend because Val Kilmer passed away. So we want to pay homage to him. I am at the Masters right now. I have a bunch of people we did not expect when we were walking off the course and got our phones back today that Denver had cleaned house. So I'm going to talk about that at the top with Joe House. We're going to talk NBA. We're going to talk Western Finals odds and a whole bunch of stuff with Sal and House. And then we did a bunch of Master stuff. We created a little draft that you can bet on FanDuel Sportsbook and a whole bunch of other fun props, bets. And then last but not least, James Baby Doll Dixon. He comes in. We've talked about him on the podcast a bunch, and we talked to him and Chang and Sal about Augusta and smoking and some of the stuff that makes Augusta what it is. So that is all coming up. First, our friends from Pearl Jam. All right, we're recording this on Tuesday, early evening in Augusta, Georgia, East Coast time. We're here for the Masters. We brought a whole crew, including Nathan Hubbard, your fairway rolling partner, Cousin Sal. He's going to be joining us later. David Chang and Baby Doll James Dixon, who's still talking. You can't hear him. but we're going to do a bunch of segments for this pod. We did not expect what happened when we left the Masters. Because when you leave the Masters, you have to give your phone. You're not allowed to have your phone on the course. We didn't have our phone for 6 hours. So Literally anything can happen. And we're thinking we leave the course and we're going to find out the market has dropped like 150 points. Or
Just another day that ends in Y.
Yeah, some sort of bad tariff news. And instead, all these texts about, oh my God, Nuggets, can you believe Denver? And they fired their coach and their GM. And we're going to be one of many podcasts who talks about this tonight. But a true stunner. I don't remember. I have a bunch of thoughts on this, but to fire your coach and GM with a week to go in the season, when you have a chance to be like a top four playoff seed, this is like the NBA we grew up with. The NBA is like going nuts again.
Well, I mean, it is and it isn't. Like there is no precedent for teams firing their coach. Like we have it now in 10 days, two playoff teams with legit aspirations for getting to the Western Conference Finals, firing their head coach.
Right.
And Memphis
being the other one.
Yeah, Denver went a whole step further. They're like, we don't like the internal turmoil of this identity crisis fight that we've been having for what feels like to me 18 months now, at least between Calvin Booth and his instinct to try and build a team with young guys. And Mike Malone, who has in front of him most of the pieces of guys that won an NBA championship a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Right.
And this tension has been affecting this team for 2 years now.
Well, but think back to the 80s, though. I remember, didn't Larry Brown, like he was coaching the Nets and he just left for Kansas City with, or for Kansas University with like 2 weeks ago in the season. They fired him. But it was the kind of thing that would happen all the time with the league we loved. And the league, even though it still has your Sacramentos and these, but now I feel like, here's my theory. I'm going to throw this theory at you.
I'm listening.
The league is so deep now, and there's so much talent. It ties into something we talked about when we did the over-under pods with Russillo. It's like, shit, there's going to be some unhappy teams. Teams that thought they were going to be really good. Teams that have max guys. Teams that have this model that used to work of, we have three stars. We have two really good stars. And they're going to be like two games under 500 in February, wondering what that'll happen. And I'm looking at the West, because the West is a way deeper conference than the East. The East is more like a traditional, you have the really good teams, you have some good playoff teams, some mediocre teams, and then crappy teams, right? That's the model we're used to. The West, like, everybody's talented and everybody thought they were going to be in the mix. So look at all the teams that were unhappy just this season. Dallas traded their best player, one of the five best guys in the league. They just said, fuck it. We don't like where this is going. They trade him. The Lakers were unhappy too. They were trying to do all kinds of stuff midseason. They make a trade. Memphis fires their coach. Denver just fired their coach and GM. Sacramento fired their coach, traded their best player. Phoenix tried to trade everybody on their team but Devin Booker for 4 months. They fired their coach last year. They're probably firing him again. That's six teams in the West house.
Well, you left out Golden State.
And Golden State.
Who knew that they needed right. another piece and went and paid, you know, got, a high
and did
price.
Jimmy Butler. But yeah. Yeah, that's, but at least that's not like.
Okay.
All right, that's not a Hail Mary. This Denver thing is a Hail Mary. This is.
It's a what the hell is going on to me.
But this is, sense. We're going to the playoffs and we're going to get smoked and everybody wants to play us. And we're in a situation where in Saturday, Sunday, teams might be tanking to try to get a matchup against us. That's the level Denver was at with the way they were playing lately.
That's true. So what does firing the coach and GM have to do with the performance on the floor?
It's a good question. I'm going to try to answer it.
Good.
I think they thought their season was shot. I think they decided.
I think they're right.
This coach GM situation, they were going to get rid of both of them. Josh Kroenke basically said that in the press conference.
Yes.
Like, we're going to do something after the season. Why not now? Why not see if we can save it? This is a Hail Mary.
Well, what again, let's do it precedent-wise. Point to a team.
That's done this with a week to go?
Yeah, in the last 30 years.
Point to a team that's had Jokic as their best player during like this half decade he's having. That's one of the great half decades anyone's had offensively in the history of the league.
So I don't.
And they have one title to show for it.
I don't begrudge the instinct of wanting to do something to change the trajectory, but the problem is, it's the players. They're not good enough. They don't have a team that's good enough to compete. To your observation earlier,
well, they have their top five's good enough.
They don't play defense. They haven't played defense in 2 months. That's why they have a losing record over their last 25, 30 games. It's why they have they're 5-9 over their last 14 games. Their last three
are
games
they 5-9
of the season
over the last 14.
Yeah, yes.
I saw they're 12-13 last 25.
Yeah, they don't play defense.
19th net rating, 22nd defensive rating in their
bottom
last
eight.
25 games. And we like looking at the net rating stuff. It's a nice little snapshot.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes you can overreact to it one way or the other. Sometimes you have teams that are in the vicinity of where their playoff spot's going to be. Maybe they cool the Jets a little bit. Other times, it's a real sign either something's going really wrong or really right. Like with the Clippers with Kawhi back, all their net rating stuff is really good here for two solid months now. And it's like, let's take this team seriously. Detroit, who I think is going to be a six seed, I'm not taking them 100% seriously, but the math is the math, and the math says they're a pretty good team. Denver, the math said this team can't guard anybody. The on-off stats with Jokic, which I mentioned Sunday with Russillo, and are the case if you're going to talk MVP for him, which I think today probably hurt that cause a little bit. But the on-off for him, where they were the best offense in NBA history when he's on the court, and they're 30th in the NBA when he's off the court, that's all you need to know.
And
there's never been a disparity like that in the history of basketball.
That tells you all that you need to know about the team-building effort. And look, I think this is...
Well, when you say team building, though, do you blame Mike Malone at all? Because you and I both watch a lot of Denver.
I don't blame him one bit. No, I mean, when you have the best player on earth and you have most of the nucleus of a title winning team,
yeah,
then the appropriate thing to do is try and, in the first place, defend that title. And then in the second place, try and win as many as you can while you have the best player in the world playing at the level that he's playing at. That seems like the right kind of decision. And I think that head coach, you know, built a game plan for the season, these last two seasons, around the that thesis, around the idea of we should try really hard when we have this guy to be as good as we can in this moment. I do think that this new collective bargaining agreement is a real culprit, is a real...
The apron stuff. Yeah, because yes. they were like $5 million under the second apron, but next year they're going to get killed by the apron. And I think they seem really scared of it. And, you know, there's some real money stuff with this team that has to be mentioned. I think around the league, if you talk to people who know shit or who have a vested interest in it, they're like, thank God Denver's not spending more money. They have this incredible asset and they seem pretty good being middle of the road. It's the same thing people felt about the New England Patriots during the last 10 years of Tom Brady.
I mean,
thank God they're not spending more than they are. Then you look at the Philadelphia Eagles in your division and they're super aggressive and they're like trying to maximize the moment. I think that's what most fans want. I would not say Denver's doing that.
I wouldn't call Denver middle of the road. I wouldn't characterize.
I'd say middle of the road. They have the best player in the league, and they're not even a second apron team.
Well, they're going to be middle of the road this season. They were not middle. They went for it last season, and I think they paid the price. I think that they flamed out the way they did because they saw the one seed as a viable possibility. They played balls to the wall at the end of the regular season, and it took a toll on them. Because Minnesota ran them out the gym.
I have a couple other theories in this. The play-in, I think, puts a crazy amount of pressure on these teams.
Mm.
Not only do you not want to be in the play-in, you're in a situation where you could just lose two play-in games and then you're not even in the playoffs, which was a real thing for Denver, right?
True story.
So this is why it's not a panic move, but it's a total panic move where you're like 5 days left. Everybody wants to play us. Our defense is in shambles. We lost a catastrophic game in overtime to Minnesota that really feels like that tilted their season in all these different ways. Like, does Malone still have a job if they win that game? Maybe.
Well, they didn't play two of their guys that game, right? I mean,
I know, but it was just how they lost and how bad Westbrook was.
It was.
And how great Jokic was.
It was agonizing. Especially.
So you have that piece. You know, a lot of times when we're hinting at stuff in pods and we're talking about stuff and we're talking about scuttlebutt around the league, and people go, where's that coming from? And shit gets aggregated, but it always seems hazy. This Booth Malone thing, I mean, I talked about it. Everybody who's had a podcast has alluded to or talked about it. I almost, and I really regret I didn't do it. I had it, you know, you have the tweet lined up and you have the draft. There was something Malone got something for, like, he won the most games in Nuggets history. There was some sort of ceremony and it was a short video and it was Calvin Booth giving him something. And I had this really sarcastic tweet and it was like rare footage of Calvin Booth and Mike Malone interacting. And I was ready to tweet it out. And I was like, you know what? That's not worth it. That's going to become a thing. People will be mad. And I was just like, I didn't do it. But that's how bad it was. I had this tweet lined up, like, because just that they interacted seemed like it was an amazing event.
I don't like that whole kind of storyline and that dynamic, because at the end
which
of
part
the, day,
the media part of it or the coach GM part?
The coach GM part. The media part of it is perfectly fine, of
course.
Well,
you know, we're getting the Now They Tell Us piece, TM Brian Curtis, you know, that's coming.
It was an open secret, like, you know,
Ramona kind of wrote it during the beginning of the season. I think if Zach had been writing for ESPN, I think Zach would have had something pretty major.
Matt Moore at the Action Network, who's does a pod on Denver, has been talking about it. It's not a secret of that.
No, the Denver fans,
it's internal tension. They've been observing it, but really,
it's more than tension. They didn't fucking talk.
I don't like it because that's on Kroenke. That's on Josh Kroenke. They're like, you. Somebody needs to be the boss.
Well, at least he owned it today.
The boss is the boss, right? Yeah. You see guys not getting along. You need to sit in a room and reconcile whatever the differences are, because, again, you have the best effing player on the planet on your team playing at his absolute best. So the thing to do is try and capitalize on that. That would be my instinct. So you don't think everybody get along? Think
Zeke Nagy extension, Reggie Jackson,
Peyton Watson, who could be something eventually, maybe someday.
There's some really bad team building. We knew there might be signs for trouble. Kevin O'Connor, when he was writing for The Ringer, did that big piece about the Nuggets and their team building. And Calvin Booth gave all these secrets in the piece.
Yeah.
Which is like GM 101. Don't do that. If you're doing stuff that's working, don't talk about it. What is the upside? What's the upside of here? Let me tell this reporter all of these things we're doing that we think are cutting edge. How are you winning with that? Now you're just giving your secrets to the other 29 teams in the league.
Again.
And he does this whole link thing. And it was just weird because it felt credit grabby. Anytime something's credit grabby,
you know, like,
well, why is this guy doing it? Obviously, he had a thing with Malone and it was already there jacking.
Where's the
from
boss?
From that moment on.
When that story came out on The Ringer, which is what, 18 months ago, 16 months ago?
Well, remember he tried to disown it after? He was like, I don't know. I thought I was off the record. And
Oh, right.
Yeah, he's ludicrous. And it was fucking bullshit because KOC did a good job with that story. Anyway, so this thing was a problem all year. I think it affected the team and then they finally acted. I'm going to throw this at you. The great NBA asset wastes.
Oh, no.
So remember when we were kids and Kareem was just on shitty teams for like 7 years?
Yes.
He was on the Bucks forever. They had nobody. It was like basically Bobby Dandridge and that was it. Oscar was washed up. And they were he was still great. And then finally he's like, I'm going to LA. Goes to the Lakers, but they trade a lot to get him. Then the Kermit Washington fight happens. And it's just, it felt like there's 7 years there where it's like, Jesus, is Kareem, he's the best player in the league. Is he going to be on a really good team? And then Magic shows up and the rest is history. But there's been some good ones over the years. Like even LeBron in the mid-2000s on those Cleveland teams. I was like, oh man, they're traded for Ben Wallace now. They're paying that much for Antoine Jameson? Kobe mid-2000s, partly his fault because he's first Shaq out. T-Mac for basically the entire 2000s.
That makes me sad.
That was a good one. Moses when we were kids on the Rockets.
T-Mac could have, but Yao broke down on him.
Yeah, I mean, Yao broke down. But T-Mac for all that Orlando run when Grant Hill was hurt.
It makes me sad. Yeah.
And I don't think this Jokic thing is as bad because Gordon's obviously really good. Christian Brown's been good. Yeah. Murray, when he's healthy,
is
good.
Christian Brown turned out to be good.
Porter's a good three-point shooter. It's not that bad, but at the same time, it does hurt.
Their entire fate is tied to Jamal Murray's health. And we said this at the outset of the season. I know, I'm not sure if I'm the only one, but I went under on them getting to 51 wins this season because
you went over on the Sixers.
No, I'm just saying we're talking about the Denver Nuggets.
I didn't want you to applaud yourself because you did go.
No,
and by the way, I went under on the Clippers and under on the Lakers.
Why are we going through this? Nobody cares. The observation I'm making is that the concern at the outset of the season for me was Jamal Murray. Do you trust that he's going to be able to play at the level that this team requires through the balance of a season for them to get into like the mid-50s and wins? And I didn't trust it. And any time that he's not, he has been excellent, Jamal Murray, for a good stretch. And they won 8 games going into the All-Star break.
Like, welcome to the season, Jamal Murray.
Yeah,
like
but,
December.
You know, it was like, okay, so Denver's legit. So we love Denver at this level, playing at that you know, and then Gordon went out with some injuries, and Michael Porter Jr. has been doing Michael Porter Jr. stuff, and we have too much time and too many high leverage moments where the basketball finds its way into Russell Westbrook's hands.
Well, he just shouldn't play in crunch time.
That's true.
I almost don't blame Russell Westbrook.
I don't either. I don't blame him.
When my son leaves the pantry open and
the dog,
my beloved dog Murph is just like, cool, I'm gonna eat all the potato chips. Is that Murph's fault or is that Ben's fault?
That's right.
Russ, sometimes in crunch time, he's just going to eat all the potato chips. And it's like, you left the pantry open.
He has to be on the floor doing that, though, because they are trying to do this rotating rest thing.
I get it.
With their guys. I get it, too. They're just not good enough.
Here's Russ's value. We're giving everyone the night off. Russ, can you do everything and try to keep us close for this game against Charlotte, who's tanking anyway?
Sure.
Can we bring in Conspiracy Bill for a second?
Oh, I'm here. I'm listening. He turned his hat backwards.
It's like an over the top slash the line Conspiracy Bill. I wonder if Jamal Murray is healthy.
Oh, okay.
And if they feel like team's going the wrong way in the playoffs, and Jamal Murray is not 100% healthy. And they lose, and then that becomes the excuse for why they fell apart down the stretch. And then it becomes harder to clean house and fire everybody. And now you just do it now, so there's no excuse. You've 50-50, maybe he's going to be where he was in December for the playoffs, maybe not. But either way, it's a queen, it's a reset button either way. It's just, listen, I'm not saying conspiracy, Bill. Conspiracy Bill.
Your feels like hold you're on,
I'm back. I'm
it.
Out.
That good. Thank
listen,
you.
Well, conspiracy back. Bill just came in. I'm not saying he's always right. Sometimes he's crazy, but something doesn't pass the sniff test about the timing with this.
I don't. Well, because it's ludicrous. The timing is
the
ludicrous.
Timing's ludicrous.
There's nothing. I mean, Josh Kroenke said four times, "We're going to see what we can squeeze the juice. We're going to see if we can squeeze some juice out of it." There ain't no juice, buddy. Your team ain't good enough.
He needs to squeeze the PED juice out of it.
He should be squeezing.
PED's all the way around.
He needs to be squeezing the leadership juice. He should have squoze, you know, before the season started and sat down. It needed to be squeezed before the season started. They needed to come up with a game plan and not have this internal turmoil. They got a best case scenario out of Christian Brown this season.
They really got a very good scenario. Dodging the KCP bullet.
They got a very good scenario out of Jamal Murray, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, considering his injury history, they have three max contract guys. They can't keep all three. They can't keep Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray and stay, you know, where
Michael
they want to be.
Michael Porter Jr. Wizards? Flag,
no,
Sar,
no, no,
Porter?
No, no, no.
Flag, Sar, Porter?
No.
The new
no,
big three?
No, no. I still wonder why didn't we hear more about them and with Miami? Why was Miami not interested?
I don't think Miami wanted any part of Michael Porter
Jr. It must be right.
Would you trade it for Michael Porter Jr.? Would you want to pay him $40
million? He's redundant for that team anyway. He doesn't help them.
We're gonna take a break and bring in Cousin Sal, and we're going to do the West, where Denver fits in, and whether we think there's any chance.
Where Denver fits out.
Let's go. But let's take a break, and then Sal's going to come in. Swing it to the biggest golf event of the year with FanDuel, where every putt and drive can bring you closer to victory, or in my case, closer to all the putts and drives. Speaking of FanDuel, our friends over there have some amazing offers. For the first major this week at Augusta, check it out. All customers get from FanDuel a no-sweat bet on first-round leaders. If your player isn't the leader after the first round, no sweat. You'll get bonus bets back to use on another bet. I like DeChambeau to win first round. Bet it. Go grab the odds. If you don't get it, no sweat. They're also giving everybody a profit boost to use on any Augusta bet every round. Boost your winnings on anything from outright winners to top 20s. And even if there will be a hole-in-one this week, don't forget to check out our Ringer specials on FanDuel Sportsbook as well. We made a bunch of bets and props. FanDuel, your go-to for betting on Augusta. Tee off with a variety of bet types and live bet stuff as the tournament drama unfolds. So don't wait. Visit FanDuel.com/BS to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, and swing for some green. Must be 21 plus in present in select states or 18 plus in present in D.C., opt-in required bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and max wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is brought to you by Nissan. If you're planning on an adventurous 2025, you're going to need a car that can keep up with you and conquer anything in your path. The Nissan Armada Pro 4X is that car with a twin-turbo V6 engine ready to propel your adventures up to 8,500 pounds of towing capacity to haul all your favorite toys and space for 8 passengers. This unshakable fortress will chew up and spit out anything you throw at it. Learn more at the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada at nissanusa.com. Towing capacity varies by configuration. See Nissan Towing Guide and Owner's Manual for additional information. Always secure cargo. All right, Cousin Sal is here, our friend. We walked the course today. Nice. We're going to talk about that later. The Masters. Your agent, James Baby Doll Dixon, is here.
What a day. So much fun.
We'll talk about that next segment. We're going to talk about the Denver Nuggets and the West and basketball and the NBA playoffs.
Can I just first thank you guys for giving me some winning futures in the beginning of the year? I heard you talk about how you bet your own futures and lost. Maybe you should come to me after your podcast so I could tell you who to bet. Houston makes the playoffs. Yes. Pelicans, no playoffs. Yes. Denver underwins. Yes. Spurs underwins. Yes. Suns overs a loss. Wizards under. Yes.
We did above average on our locks. I'm really upset about how we handled the Pacific. The yeah. LA teams, Sacramento, and
the
Phoenix.
Lakers.
Phoenix and the two LA teams ruined my over unders.
Yeah.
Fine. Anyway.
You just went over. Those two went to crazy transformation. Yeah. So it's not really.
Anyway. All right. So the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
We have FanDuel. I introduced these to you.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of buried on the FanDuel Sportsbook NBA page where they have two advance each round.
Mm.
And I don't remember seeing those last year. I was incredibly fascinated by them. So round two, to make round two, that means you're winning in round one. And we're taping this before a couple of the Tuesday night games.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some standing shenanigans. We have five teams that have 32 losses. Denver's one of them who just fired their coach and GM.
Right. Is Denver in a post Malone time period right
this
now?
This is good.
Wow. Come on.
The Cousins Sal is here.
Where's the drummer?
The Cousins Sal is here.
OKC is minus 1,300 to make round two house. And that jumped out to me immediately because what if they play Minnesota or the Clippers? I think OKC would beat either of those teams, but I don't think they're 13-1 favorites to beat the Clippers if that was the series or Golden State.
What do you think the price is? Because those guys, both the Clippers and Minnesota, super short prices as dogs. It must be that they think Memphis is going to be the 8 because Memphis is plus 350.
Yeah. Right.
And I honestly, that does make sense. Memphis
I should have mentioned that too. So Clippers are plus 130 to make round two. Minnesota's plus 154 to make round two. Memphis is plus 350. But OKC is minus 1,300.
That doesn't make sense.
If
Memphis
right?
is even the 8 at plus 350. Exactly. FanDuel screwed up. Thanks for sending us out here, but they screwed up. They're not smart
we
people.
Let me FanDuel, yeah, but yeah, you didn't. You yeah. added something wrong here. And then the Lakers are minus 172. Gold State's minus 152. Denver is plus 106. And Houston is plus 114. Which was another one that jumped out to me because they're going to have, we know they're the two seed. They're playing as well as they played all season and it's 2-7. And I just think they're going to be favored. So if I get them at plus 114, that's great. But I think that whole list, what shocked you the most out of those eight teams? So,
I mean, that's weird. Now that you bring it up, if Houston is going to be a two seed as an underdog, right? If you're guaranteed, they're not guaranteed, but looking good, two seed. Has that happened in a while where a two seed's an underdog? I mean, that jumped out.
Every once in a while, they're like Memphis had that year where they were the two seed, but yeah, nobody believed in it and there was good value in them.
Let's price it, cuz, because let's say home it's game. Houston against Minnesota.
Right.
They won't be an underdog to Minnesota. It'll be like very close to even odds, don't you think?
Right.
They'll be a tiny favorite.
Because they're home, they'll have home
court.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so right now, Minnesota's 7 and Memphis is 8.
Mm-hmm.
And Houston's 2. So arguably playing one of those. Golden State has two easy games the next two.
It's bizarre.
Denver just fired their coach. They've lost 4 in a row. And they're going to be playing the Kings, the Grizzlies at home, and then at Houston in the last game of the season, which Houston might not care about because they'll have the two seed locked up. So yeah. I don't know. I think Minnesota versus Houston, just fundamentally, if that's a 2-7 series house, where would your money be in that series?
I'm definitely betting on Minnesota. There's no
I
two ways
think
about
that's
it.
That's how I feel like, about it, too.
I guarantee you.
Because they've screwed us enough. We have this big parlay that needs Minnesota to run the table losing-wise to pay off. And it actually might be over by now because
it's probably over
Tuesday night. Yeah. Yeah. So we just want to figure out how much we want our teeth kicked in by Minnesota this year.
What would you set that line at? Minnesota...
I think the house is right. Like Houston only because they're home with home. Yeah.
But it'd be tiny.
Minus 125 or something.
So maybe that explains these prices. I guess the problem for FanDuel and just trying to set these prices in general is if you have one upset, one anything happening.
Yeah.
You don't want to. Now all of a sudden I have Denver plus 106, but all of a sudden they're in the 7th spot playing Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they'd be favored in that series because of Jokic.
That's a great question. Who would you have favored in Denver, Houston?
Yeah, so now you're talking.
I think Houston's good. I'd be a little. I'd bet Minnesota, but I don't think I'd put a lot of money on that.
I saw too many games with Houston where from the 8 minute mark in the fourth quarter to the end of the game, they turn flaccid.
Did you see anything? What
they turn limp.
Did you see anything of what Amen Thompson did to Curry in that game though?
It was awesome. Absolutely. I thought awesome.
That was, he was just impressive. Took out now Curry. The problem with Golden State and why they're going to be so hard to figure out is they're an older team.
Right.
Their best three guys are either old or getting old. Mm-hmm. And they have a situation like they play two really hard Thursday, Friday games. And then they play Sunday against that young, big, powerful Rockets team. And they just looked old.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I thought the Rockets, they beat OKC and Golden State in the same weekend. That's nothing.
They're good.
With nothing to play for. And they talk a bunch of shit.
They're good. Ime
was talking shit to Steph.
I mean, this just shows me that FanDuel hates Houston. To make them a plus number as a two seed, most likely, and then we don't have to go on to the next round, but to make the West Finals at plus 470 playing the 4 or 5 seed, right?
So
or
Houston,
the 3-6 seed.
And I should have flagged this for you. Houston was plus 790 like 5 days ago to make the Western Finals.
Really?
As a two seed. They were basically getting 8-1 odds. And if you just price that out, they're going to be the favorites or close in both series, right? Houston's plus 470 now. Looking at the odds, the shocking thing to me is how much respect they give the Lakers and how afraid. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying the Lakers are being treated almost like they're a defending champ type situation. They're minus 172 to win a round. They're plus 168 to win two rounds. And there's a chance they might, you know, maybe they don't even have home court in round two, right? Potentially they couldn't, but it
like a lot of people. That might be respect. That might be different from Houston. There just might be a lot of tickets on the Lakers. Like right after that Luka trade, everyone must have just dialed into them and bet them to win
so
the West.
So they're so scared of that.
Yeah, so there's a lot of liability there. But I do think for the West finals, all right, OKC minus 290, throw that out of there. If you think Denver's done, you got a nice opportunity to make some money here, picking either the Lakers or Golden State or the Clippers.
Well, the problem is if Denver drops to 7 out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it's Houston versus Denver in a 2-7. Right. I think looking at the odds, the best odds to me seem to be Minnesota to make the West Finals. I think the odds have adjusted correctly. But Minnesota basically 7-1 to make the West Finals to win two rounds.
I'm going to, we need to take a break for this podcast so I can go. What? I'll be right back.
Oh, to make a thing.
I got
to
go make a bet.
I thought it was a bathroom thing.
It could be both. I could do it in the bathroom. We did eat a lot of pizza today, cuz.
I really wanted the Clips to have better odds because I thought maybe they would be the sleeper pick. But plus 420 to win two rounds isn't, there's no value at all.
No value.
And there might be underdogs both rounds. That doesn't make sense. And if you really wanted to get nuts, do Memphis plus 1550 to win two rounds. That's insane.
He's just throwing money
But there's
away.
A chance they could get the 7 seed and be in the 2-7, right?
Yeah.
Memphis, that would be Houston, the case. That Memphis-Houston would be awesome. That would be an awesome series.
But there would be that's two series at plus 450 and plus 300. Would that be what they are in the first two series? So that's basically what 1550 is.
So, House, for that first round, the advance to round two, if somehow the Clippers are the 8 seed and OKC's the 1 seed and you have OKC at minus 1300 to advance to round two, I would be fucking nervous with that one. Because I don't think the Clips can beat OKC, but I think they can make you nervous if you have a lot of OKC money, right?
Absolutely, positively. I want no part of that. If Kawhi... It seems like I should knock on wood. There's some wood in this house, some fine marble I see, but I'm going to knock on some wood because we want Kawhi healthy for the first round. I don't think they're going to drop, though. The Clippers are playing too well, and their last three games are reasonable for them.
So here's the real value, Sal, to make the finals. So this is three rounds. OKC's minus 145. Lakers plus 650. I just don't think that's... They're going to be underdogs in two of those. You have to win three rounds.
This is to win the Western Conference. Yeah. This is the bet.
You have to... Lakers plus 650, Golden State 7-1, Denver 10-1, Clip 16-1, Minnesota 21-1, Houston 24-1, and Memphis 70-1. So the case for Golden State or the Lakers is this, other than that they have famous players and a good infrastructure and all that stuff. What does your record have to be What's the worst possible record you could have and make the Western Finals? A little math question for you guys.
I mean, including the playoff, like all that?
First three rounds, what's the worst record you could have and still make the finals?
4-3, 4-5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
12-9.
12-9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you think of it that way, it's like, could a team with Luka and LeBron go 12-9 over 21 games? It's like, yeah, that seems realistic. Like Golden State. Could Golden State go 12-9 for three rounds? Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, they're going to have a game like they had Sunday where they look old. Steph has 3 points. You know, even think of like when they played Memphis a couple years ago in 22.
Yeah.
And they got blown out in game five right. And they just won in game six. When you think about 12-9, it's just not that hard.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like the way you're going.
It's funny because like, we usually look at this at this point of year like, all right, who's the toughest out? Who's the toughest to beat four times? But yeah. If you do it that way, 12-9 is doable. Yeah.
Well, think about the Lakers, like 12-9. Let's say there's three incredible Luka games. There's three. Mm-hmm. Let's give LeBron two incredible LeBron games. All right. Now I have five.
Right.
Let's give Reeves one awesome game.
Sure.
Where they win just because Reeves is great. All right, now I have six of the 12. All right. Now let's have a LeBron and Luka are awesome in the same game. There's two more. You can get to 12 pretty easily.
I think you're right. I think those odds are it's weird because we just said a lot of people might have Lakers tickets, but when we talk about the toughest out, Oklahoma City's the toughest to beat four times probably, but not six times as tough as the Lakers to beat four times.
Well, so right? Here's the case for OKC.
Yeah.
They're going to finish the season 68-14, 67-15, mm-hmm. and then it becomes math.
Right.
So over 6 months, they lost 14 times.
Right.
And now we're going to get to the playoffs and they're going to lose nine times in 21 games.
Right.
That's where it gets stupid. This was the case for the Celtics last year. At some point, the math takes over. But OKC did get their ass kicked the other day against the Lakers.
Yeah.
And it's like, why did they get their ass kicked? Were they showing anything? Are they just, did they call off the dogs or did this actually mean something?
Right.
I don't know. Houston seems to be, I would say, most disrespected.
Yeah.
In the West.
I think it's appropriate. I think it's fine.
They're going to be the 2 seed.
Yeah.
And they're going to have home court in the first two rounds.
True story.
24-1 is a good price.
The 2 seed getting the 7th best seat odds is remarkable. It doesn't make any sense. 24-1. Yeah. Yeah. For all three of those categories, Houston's getting ripped.
All right, Sal, a couple other things for you.
Yeah.
Who do you want Dallas to take with the 12th pick in the draft?
Yeah. I want a lineman. I know there's like two. It's just crazy. I know we're going to screw this up.
We're doing football now.
I know. I kind of love it.
Fun.
Moved right to football.
They're talking about the Arizona receiver or talking about, like, this is a team that needs everything in my head. Like, everybody who roots for their team, like, oh, we need like 8 positions. Not you, House. You free agented everywhere. You're waiting.
No, we still need 8 defensive positions.
Give us a lineman. I don't know exactly which one is going to drop to us because, you know, we lost one of the best in the game.
So I was looking at the draft odds. Sadly, it seems like the draft has shook out in a way that's not great for the New England Patriots. Where Cam Ward's one. Seems like Hunter's going to be 2. He's minus 280 now to go to Cleveland. And then Carter is now minus 170 on FanDuel to be the 3rd pick.
Oh, you were really hoping for Shador to sneak in there.
And I don't think it's happening. And Sanders, he's 4-1 to go 3rd. He's 17-1 to go 2nd. And I think the odds are probably better that he's going to fall. There's a team to draft Shador Sanders. Mm. Odds that I thought was pretty fun because you can really take it. I mean, Dallas is 26-1, Sal.
You could take a couple of these. This is like a nice roulette thing, right? We put money on a few numbers. I never get it right, though.
Well, if people are right, and I think it feels like, as somebody who's watched a lot of this draft stuff, and a couple of people have kind of like, I'm not sure. He might be closer to Andy Dalton than people realize. But nobody really wants to come out and say, I don't think he's a top 5 pick.
Yeah.
He's not good enough. Nobody has come out strongly, but I think that's coming. And if he does the Aaron Rodgers slide into the late part of round 1.
Right.
And we start going into like, I don't know. Miami range 27-1.
Sure.
Maybe even some before that. Yes.
Colts 22 to 1.
Seattle Colts, yeah.
Seattle 22 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
Rams 11 to 1.
That makes a lot of sense to me, honestly.
Steelers plus 450. But it seems like there's some sort of value there that we're not seeing. The other thing I was looking at was if the Pats trade back. I think Genty is seems like he's going to have some real juice as the draft gets closer. Oh. Raiders are minus 145 for him.
Mm.
They're picking sixth.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get scared, somebody's going to leapfrog them. Maybe they just move up two spots with the Pats if the Pats want to take a left tackle.
Right.
But him going to the Raiders is minus 145. Saints is 9-1. And then your team, Sal, 15-1.
It's so funny because I would even look further down because to me, it's still like, all right, if these GMs wisen up, a running back that early, just even in the first round, but that early, should only go to a team that's one piece away from making the playoffs or making a deep run in the playoffs. I'm sorry. It's not your team. It's not the Raiders. Probably not the Bears.
The only case for my team.
It's not my team for sure, but.
Well, the only case for my team is if they're like, this is a Peyton Manning, Edge James situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We'll have our two guys. We won't be able to block for either of them, but we have, this is an Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman. Like there's a model here for this. I'm pretty consistent with this. Like if you're picking that high, mm-hmm. I need to get somebody that in free agency in 4 to 5 years is going to be like a $30 million a year guy. Yeah. And running backs don't make that much. You know,
yep.
Tackles do, cornerbacks do, pass rushers do. And I just feel like if you're picking that high, even if they took Mason Graham,
mm-hmm.
it's like that's a guy that will, if he's good, will be like a $25 to $30 million a year player.
Yeah.
A running back will not. But once you're in the range you're in,
mm-hmm.
it starts to get more interesting. Then you're in that Jahmyr Gibbs range.
Right. Yeah. I don't think, you know, I think you got your player that everyone needs to be excited about. And that's the a pets. Coach.
Yeah.
It's your coach. Brable, so now you don't have to, you know, kowtow to the fans. You could draft smart and go back to drafting smart like you do. I mean, I think like Denver at 75-1, like kind of one-ish piece away from doing that, you know?
At running back.
Well, and they did running back by committee.
Yeah.
And it was not very successful.
Right, exactly.
So that makes it, I like that price a lot.
The Dallas Cowboys are 7-1 to take a running back.
To take a running back first.
Plus yeah. to take a running back first. Plus uh-huh. 230 to take a receiver. Yeah, you can do that. FanDuel has all these positions.
Teams. It's a lot of fun.
The kid from North Carolina has been getting a ton of buzz. Hampton, and they're yeah. starting to do Hampton. This thing about, you know, is this a Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs kind right. of year?
What position do you think Washington will take?
I pray edge. I pray one of the guys edge that they rusher? Like at edge.
That's plus 170 on FanDuel.
Makes perfect sense, right?
Yeah.
That's the lowest guy. Odds for the position.
Yeah. The one that they don't have yet that I think they should have is who's going to be the second quarterback drafted.
Yeah, they usually do.
Because Dart versus Sanders
Ooh.
Is a really fun one.
Because
couldn't you see the Saints just taking Dart ninth out of nowhere? I'd be like, whoa!
Right.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
one of those.
Yeah, for sure. And Dart, like, it's so funny because now we see how many people show up. Everybody reports on how many Giants showed up for Shedeur Sanders pro day. You know, it's like 37 Giants and 14 players and three front office guys. It ends up being like ratings for this. And that affects the odds. Like how many, yeah. you know, so that's why people think. But yeah, the same thing for what you're saying here. I could see it.
Well, speaking of affecting the odds, you know, FanDuel. They've been an awesome partner to us. That they're the reason we're here at the Masters right now. Yeah. And occasionally I'll text them and badger them and make them do props and bets okay. and stuff, including some golf ones that we're going to talk about in 1 second. But I made them do an exact order bet. This is my dream scenario for the Pats, which was Cam Ward, Sanders, Hunter. We get Abdul Carter fourth. So they put that up. They priced it. They had their their trading desk priced it.
Yeah.
And it was plus 750. For that foursome. This was 2 weeks ago. It's now 17-1.
Did you,
and it's did not you make them well. Change it? No, they're just dropping. They're increasing the odds. Because
what happened? Did they send in some tariffs?
No was buyers?
There, was there a Shedeur Sanders tariff?
Wasn't, did not turn
dropped
out.
Dropped them, killed the market.
Wow. What happened that made that go up? That aside from the one
I think what it? Happened is Sanders, it became clear he wasn't going to go two or three.
Okay.
But, For the top five pick bet was the other one I was looking at.
Yeah.
And Mason Graham is -140. And I just don't see how he falls past Jacksonville at five.
Okay.
Either either the Pats take him, which I'd be fine with, because then they would have an awesome D line with hopefully Barmore's healthy. Guy they signed from Philly, they spent a lot of money on. And Graham, that sounds great. Let's have an awesome D line. Or Jacksonville takes him. But that's -140. Seems like good odds. It gets a little scarier after that. Like Will Campbell, the left tackle everyone thinks the Pats are going to take. I just don't think they take him at four.
-135.
I think they trade back a couple spots if they're taking him, because nobody else is going to take him.
Is the NFL draft or the mock draft the biggest? All right, we're full of shit, but you have no choice but to follow us.
No, I think it's like the Malone Booth thing. I think there's so much scuttlebutt, and I think they talk to so many people, and I think these guys get real info.
They end up 6 out of 32, and if there's one trade, it screws everything up.
No, but I'm saying info about who's kind of...
Who's looking for what?
By now, we know if Sanders is going to be a top four pick or not, and he's just not. It's not happening.
Right, all right. So maybe if you
could... So we know stuff like that.
You could outline the top three or four, but after that, like...
Like, we know Cam Ward, like, Tennessee's taking him. Like, we've done that for... Yeah. A little while. Yeah, no.
I'm just saying, Joe Lenardi goes 67 to 68 and gets death threats. And then everybody else, like, Kuiper goes 7 for 32. It's like, yeah, great job. All right.
Well, because can't wait to see you next year. The NFL has teams like Atlanta who draft Michael Penix Jr. at number 9.
Right, right. Yeah, like, everything gets...
I'm zagging. Pretty good pick.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
Penix might be the first pick in this draft.
It's a great pick if you...
It's a great pick if they just haven't spent money. $90 million on Kirk Cousins.
If you just don't care about money.
I'm just saying, don't bet -170 on anything. Just like because of this.
Because I think that's great advice.
So dead right. Yeah. Absolutely.
With that said, Genty +850, I think, is a really interesting bet.
Okay.
For where? Yeah.
For top five pick.
Ooh. Nah, I'm not doing it. You can't have a running back in top five.
If he's Bijan Barkley that level and everybody thinks that, and people think the Raiders are going to take him at six and they want to leapfrog him and get to four or five to take him, that's the path.
That's
plus
850
seems like pretty good odds for that.
That is a Raiders move. That would be fun. Get the hell out of there.
You like that
would
one?
Tom Brady permit that?
Yeah.
Did any of the, since we did the NFL over under pod, and we did the, Sal and I did that.
I listened.
And we told, House, here's the Niners price. And you would have thought I told House, Trump's about to do tariffs. Assume all these short positions.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard House that excited about a win total probably in my life.
Did it stay the same?
No.
10.5.
It's down. Oh, it's still... 10.5, but there's -135 juice now.
That's still not a bad price.
I caught my breath and I thought about it.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're very good. And I think they're going to have, with this huge overhaul, it's not going to be the same thing we're looking at and everything. But I thought about it and I was like, and I still don't think they should be favored to win the division. But I said, boy, if you had your choice of being in any division with any schedule, you would want to play a fourth place schedule and against the AFC South and the NFC South.
And that's what the Niners
said. They're doing.
Yeah.
They do have the easiest schedule as we sit here today. We haven't seen what the rest situation and all that is and how it will affect it. But I don't know who's on that team. I don't know what the skill positions are.
You took everybody from their team.
It's Brock Purdy and it's Trent Williams and it's McCaffrey on how many? On half a leg? On one leg? I mean...
One leg?
Yeah.
Does he even have one leg anymore?
It's Fred Warner plays defense. That's it.
We're going to do some master stuff.
Yeah.
Before we do the draft, we're going to do, we have a bunch of Ringer specials that are on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, including House's Frog Frenzy Region Parlay.
Yeah.
Which is Matsuyama top Asian and McElroy top UK. +460.
Why is it
the Frog Frenzy House?
Because those guys are teammates. They're teammates on the Boston Common TGL team, the Ball Frogs. And
you might be the only person that knows this.
Hideki, I think, played in like half a match. I don't remember seeing him.
So they glad very that's good. The explanation. That could have gone so many different ways.
Frog Frenzy. That's it.
I thought you were going to get canceled for a second. I thought something horrible happened.
No.
We keep like, it. Why did he frog
I explained it when I put it in there. Get up, anytime you have the Ball Frogs as a potential parlay, you got to do it.
So, House, you have Justin Thomas winning the Masters.
I do.
What's the case?
In the first place.
By the way, put 22 to 1.
So that's the most important aspect of this. I think it's a great price for where he is in terms of his success this year. His biggest problem over this drought, this winning drought that he's in, he hasn't won in over 2 years. Has been putting. He putted very poorly last season, and his putting has greatly improved. And his numbers, he's been competitive. I mean, he choked down the stretch 2 weeks ago in Tampa, Florida. He had a three-stroke lead going into the final five holes and lost to Victor Hovland, who birdied two of the last three. So, I mean, it was a sensible loss. But I love where JT is in terms of his off-the-tee numbers. I love where he is in terms of approach. And the key thing for me is the price, because I don't think you're getting any return on Scottie Scheffler or Rory McIlroy. And I will pivot immediately if one of those guys comes out and shoots 66 on Thursday. Mm. But JT at 22 to 1 doesn't match up with the caliber and quality of his play thus far this season. So that's why I did it.
And then, Sal, you jumped on
Morikawa.
A bandwagon.
Why is that?
He's a bandwagon guy.
I haven't
guy.
Heard anyone
bandwagon
else take him.
Pick. Oh, so many people.
Really?
I love
16
him.
To one, 16 to 1 on FanDuel. What was your case?
Fourth in the world. Came in third last year.
He's
came in 10th the year before. Came in fifth in 2022. He's never missed a Masters cut, so you know you're going to see him Saturday, Sunday. He's going to be on the board. I think people are down on him because of that outburst with House. You say that's not even an outburst when
no.
he blew a three-stroke lead with five left in the Arnold Palmer last month, and he wouldn't talk to the press. Who gives a crap? Don't talk to me.
He didn't talk to the press because he was waiting for the winner to finish, and he was waiting, and he was waiting, and he was waiting, and the tour never got him and said, come, you know, here's how we're going to sequence this. He just left.
It's very
he
misunderstood.
Signed all these
tour apologist, Joe House.
I'm a Morikawa stan.
He finished inside the top 20 in all four majors last year.
I think it's a great bet. I have some Morikawa exposure. I just love the price for JT. That's the reason that I went with JT.
We did hit one bet already the Masters that we'd run into Scott Van Pelt and he would take us to the Butler cabin would get a group photo.
Yeah.
Which I put on my Instagram.
That was
the Butler cabin. I haven't seen House that excited. Probably, I'm trying to think of a scenario where you would have the look on your face that you had. And I think it involves the word free massage.
I won't go there. It was stunning. I can't overstate how, like the sequence of events. First of all,
it happened in 8 seconds.
We walked all the way up 10 to get to the top of the hill to where all the social scene is happening. The media people, all that happens at the putting green. Where 1 and 10 come together. It's
by
a
the
big
way,
scene.
Kudos to Nathan Hubbard, who's asleep right now because he had 14 pieces of pizza. But he was like, let's go up there. We'll run into someone. Yeah. He's like, good call.
We'll
run into somebody.
But we had to stop halfway up because the Cousin Sal has never walked up 10.
It's hard.
It's a real walk.
Forgot it was like the Denver Nuggets bench with all the rookies. Forgot that Sal was a rookie and didn't realize we're just going uphill
Simmons
for an hour.
Ridiculous walker. By eating pizza and oysters. That's how I drink.
But we went, the sequence of events went from that
he
moment.
Was great.
Then we're up there and they're like, hey, but you know, there's SB Baby Doll takes charge. It goes right
up.
Oh,
he knows me.
He knows me.
He's going to fucking love this. Yeah. SVP, good job.
Baby Doll only got scolded 3 times for smoking.
For smoking, yeah.
Anyway, we ran an SVP, saw the Butler cabin, which was about the size of the room we're in now, almost.
It's weird. Small.
But cool brick fireplace.
Amazing. It's a TV studio.
Mm-hmm.
It is completely like, you know, floor to ceiling outfit for perfect TV, you know, for video audio. It's like walking into, you know, any a proper studio where you guys know how to do TV shows. I was surprised by that aspect.
Yeah,
of
it's like there'd be a Ringer studio right outside Small World ride in Disneyland. It's like, what the? Why is this here?
You know? It's also always fun running in Van Pelt because he's gigantic.
He's so tall.
He's like 6'5". You always forget how like tall he is. Yeah. And just famous.
What a homie.
Great guy. My Masters winner is Rory McIlroy at plus 650. It's I always make fun of you for being sentimental you about
do,
Rory.
You do.
Somebody that drove us around a little bit the last 2 days, Matt, who we've been fortunate enough to get to know a little bit, and he had some Rory intel about Rory was kind of popping back here to play the course and just making a couple extra trips.
Yeah, Augusta native Matt.
Yeah.
Keeping his eye on things for us.
Just that Rory seemed especially focused this year, and I just like the moment. Hey, I mean, he's running out of time, you know, he's in his extended prime now, I would say. I don't think there's a lot more years where he's in the mix like this as a favorite. And this feels like to me, like if it's going to happen, it's going to be like, got to be like this year or next year.
So that's interesting because we are in this era where we see athletes, you know, extend career. Their primes, right. And he has been very fortunate in terms of avoiding injury. He does seem like with his swing, he's been able to get more out of it. He hits the ball even further than ever in his 30s, and he doesn't have these injuries that pop up that much. So I think there's a window of time that I would say it's at least like 5 years. But your point is right. There is not a long history of Masters winners, you know, once you hit age 35.
If he could avoid injury like he avoided Baby Doll today.
So 35, 4 years left?
I would give him like 6 or 7. I mean, remember,
when Jack we get into our 40s, are we still in your prime at this point in golf?
I mean,
so basically he's Tiger got the 2020s left.
He's got some time. I'm not ready.
Is the moment though.
This is a crucial moment. It's not going to be any better because he's never come into a Masters having won twice on American soil. And his numbers are through the roof in terms of the quality of his.
Look, in our defense, House and I bet golf every weekend and we've had money on Rory blowing round four a lot. Right. I mean, that's the hesitation. That's
36 years old, Rory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We're around when it should happen again pretty soon.
It would be great. I'm rooting for it. I just didn't. I'll live bet it if he comes out. His biggest problem has been Thursday. He hasn't scored well on Thursday.
Is he the number one player or team you've live bet the most?
Oh, wow.
And then I'll
one.
Ask Sal. I think for Sal, it's the Chiefs.
It might be Alex Pereira, but it's funny. We discussed this on Against All Odds. Like if you had to assign a point value from 1 to 100 on guys and teams that you've bet on the most. So Pereira, McIlroy, Chestnut. Those are my three.
I think mine are the Brady Pats.
Oh, that's a good
like
one.
Halftime bets, stuff like that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just like we're fucking with this. We're coming back. Yeah. Man, I miss those days.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break and come back and do a little Masters draft. All right. For this last segment, I always make fun of NFL pregame shows when they have too many people on and we're about to have a 6-person segment, but we only have 4 mics. So I think it's going to work well. Dave Chang joined us.
Hello. Hello.
Nathan Hubbard joined us.
Hello.
And James Baby Doll Dixon is here.
Yo, Baby Doll. So glad to be here with you.
We have never been at the Masters together.
No, we have not.
Never been in the Masters with Sal. I've been with Chang. I've been with Nathan. I've been with House, obviously, who no longer has a mic. Maybe that's a good thing. You guys don't need to share the mic. We're going to bring Chang in.
But I want to share the mic.
Well, Chang has a bum shoulder.
He's got a separated shoulder. They surgically removed his shoulder. Now he's leaning on his left side here.
Go ahead. I just want to make you as uncomfortable as possible.
Okay.
And he's also like cooking like a wild man really with this really bad shoulder. It's impressive.
Yeah. He's playing hurt. He's an inspiration to all of us and to everybody except Tiger Woods, who's not here. But there's a lot of good golfers here. Nathan, we didn't talk about, we both picked Rory to win this Masters.
Yeah, we did.
What was your case quickly?
He, 10 years ago, got 60% of his shots gained from off the tee. Last year, 51%. This year, only 37%. And he is still first in driving, which is to say the rest of his game has gotten way, way better.
See, that was much better and much smarter and more stat driven than my take, which is like more Rory's now hitting
his
time. It's mid late 30s. It's
and
time.
The vibes are good.
If it's ever going to happen, it's happening right now. And Matt, our guy, told us that he's been here a couple times. That was my case. Plus 650. We're going to do a draft.
You didn't trust Matt with your phone, but you do with the Masters pick, huh?
No, I wanted to put my phone. Okay. I like getting my phone.
We
from
all
the
left
clubhouse.
Our phones with Matt, but Simmons.
I don't know where Matt's going to go. What if his car gets stolen? Okay. We're doing this draft and FanDuel is going to put odds on it. And we are going to do a Thursday, Friday draft. The 48-hour frenzy, I think we're calling this. Mm. Each of us are going to be two golfers. Lowest score wins, and people can bet on this on FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah.
So if you like my pair more than everyone else's pair, put some odds on it. Hess, you don't have a mic. You can't talk. You talk when I talk to you.
You sound like Alec Baldwin's wife.
You're sharing baby's mic. If you want, do you want to share? You have something to say?
No.
Oh, you're doing the Justin Timberlake Barry Gibb show.
Hold on. Can I just say we haven't figured out what the booby prize is, but whoever comes in last has to do something stupid.
Something humiliating.
Yeah,
in the
something
course
humiliating
on Friday?
Friday. Yeah.
I think you have to mix all of the sandwiches on the course together.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And then eat them. Egg that's salad, pork.
Great idea.
I think I might have done that anyway today, but that's fine. You guys don't have trouble with that.
All right, let's do the draft, and then we're going to interrogate baby on some stuff. Chang, I'm going to give you the first pick of anyone for Thursday, Friday. So it's not to win the tournament. Just who do you think is going to be the leader Thursday and Friday or have a really good score?
Well, I know you guys are choosing Rory. But I'm going to go with Scottie Scheffler, number one pick.
Oh,
I don't think he's going to win, but for the first, 2 days, yes. That's my pick.
Okay.
Make a case for Scheffler. Where's this guy coming from?
All right. That's good. And it's the lowest combined score, right?
Yeah. Sal, you have second pick.
All right. Well, I did, the last half hour, I said Colin Morikawa. I've not wavered from that pick. I like him. What are his numbers? Third last year, 10th the year before, 5th in 2022, never misses a Masters cut. We had a buddy who said he had lunch with him yesterday. Delightful fella, dead set on winning this thing. Welcome to Team Sal, Colin Muller.
Is that like a name drop? But it was like a mystery name drop.
Okay. It's a mystery name drop.
All right, Nathan, you go third.
Give me Rory McIlroy. It's his time.
It's his time. That was my terrible take.
It's a bad take because Rory has struggled on Thursdays.
Yeah, that's the one.
And that's really the narrative of this tournament. If he plays Thursday well, he's going to win this golf.
Thursday and Friday.
Fair enough.
Baby, you get to go fourth. Who's your pick?
I'm doing the Swede. Oh, yeah. Åberg.
Ludvig?
Ludvig Åberg.
It's kind of Åberg, isn't
it's
it?
It's Åberg, but let's let Baby do it.
I don't think if he wins, you shouldn't get credit for that.
Wait,
it's freaking Swedish. Åberg, potato, potato, gives you shit.
It starts with an A with that little dot over it. When I'm supposed to follow this,
an umlaut.
All right, I am. I'm going fifth, and I'm taking Beefy Bryson DeChambeau.
Wow. Nice
with my fifth pick. All right, House, you get to hold the mic now, and you get two straight picks.
Great. I'll take John Rahm.
Oh,
and I'll take Justin Thomas.
Okay. You got the best spot in the draft.
Well, want to make the case?
Make a case? Yeah. John Rahm is a complete wild card because he plays on the LIV Tour. Now, he hasn't finished worse than sixth on any of his LIV events for the most part. But I like him this year as opposed to last year. He had a tied for 45th last year, was the defending champion, and he was in disarray. His game was in disarray. His life was in disarray. He's calm now. Nathan gave me a very fine report of how he conducted himself at the press conference. He is poised. He's ready. He's locked in. I like that he played Doral last week. Tough golf course.
Played well.
Ready for a major. And then Justin Thomas is my pick to win this golf tournament because I love the odds at 22-1, but Thomas has been gaining strokes on approach for about 9 months now. And the key with Justin Thomas is that his putting has greatly improved. Now, he is playing with a new caddy for the Masters. I hope it's the guy that Ben Crenshaw used. We're on the 30th anniversary of Ben Crenshaw winning in 95. If he has that guy, you might have a chance, but I don't love the idea of a new caddy.
Why is that? Why do people not like a new caddy? Everybody gets sours on a player who has a new caddy.
I think he changed doctors. Actually dead,
guy.
But
Yeah.
Crenshaw's caddy?
Yeah. All right. R.I.P.
Oh. Well, then he had to change caddies. Okay.
All right. I'm up. I'm taking Xander.
God.
Wow.
Steady pick. Best guy on the board.
Wow.
Big year last year for him. Maybe it'll continue at the Masters. So House has Rahm and Thomas. I have Beefy Bryson and Xander as my two. Baby, you're up.
I'm going with the...
Say it right.
Always... Well, this one's easy. I'm going with Koepka as my second pick. Åberg played so... Åberg played so impressively last year.
Åberg or Åberg?
Both of them played so impressively. Bergie.
Just call him Bergie.
Bergie. Ludvig. He hits the ball a country mile, number one. He's got the short game. He finished, I believe, second last year, if I'm not mistaken. And I think he's one of the absolute future stars of the tour and will win many majors in his career. Koepka.
I love on this podcast when people suck up to the Swedes.
Yeah, right.
In general.
No, but I think he's doing always a threat in the majors. He's had a very good recent history, Koepka, in the Masters. I am not sure where his game is because I don't watch LIV, but
is that a political decision?
He's always looming and could be a threat this week.
All right. We got a lot of LIV guys already. That you was, have two.
Yeah. Yeah. Nathan, you're up. You have Rory and who?
God, this is a tough one because the money says you should take Joaquin Niemann here, but I just don't trust him based on the way that he played at LIV last week. So I'm going to go totally off reservation and go Shane Lowry.
Okay.
There's like a small select group of guys who can actually win this golf tournament, and it's people who come in with great ball striking, and Shane Lowry is coming in with great ball striking. And he generally starts these tournaments decently well. So let's see how he does.
All right. Speaking of great ball striking, Cousin Sal, hey now.
I'm going with the shaggy dog, Cam Smith. Great. Taking him right there. Ninth last year. Top 10 in five of the last seven Masters and never missed a Masters cut, which means he's going to have a nice score on Friday by Friday. And he shaved the mullet. He shaved the mullet.
That worries me.
Mullet or not, here we come. Welcome to Team Sal, Cam Smith.
Dave Chang, you have the last pick.
I asked our good friend ChatGPT to help me on this, and I asked, what if you were Cousin Sal but successful?
Oh, at betting?
At betting, especially when it comes to the Masters, and what would be the best long shot? I sort of did. And it also helped me with alliteration. So we got Scottie Scheffler, and we're going to Sepp Straka, who finished 16th last year.
We saw him today.
Great approach shots.
He looked good.
And I'm trying to make Cousin Sal look good.
Okay, good. Good luck with that. I mean, that might be tougher than actually winning.
All right, so here's who we have. Chang has Scottie and Straka. Sal has Morikawa and Cam Smith. Mm-hmm. Nathan has Rory and Lowry. Baby has Bergie. And Koepka.
Yes.
I have Bryson and Xander, and House has Rahm and Thomas. FanDuel, at some point tomorrow, will have odds on all of these pairings with our names.
Yeah.
And awesome. People can bet on this for Thursday, Friday.
That's so
and
fun.
I'm getting all the info from them. Who got bet on the most? All that. I really want to have the most bets.
You do?
Yeah.
No, you're going to get you'll get that. People like you, I think.
No, I looking at this, I think House is going to have the most bets. Thomas.
Rahm
yeah,
and
I think
Thomas
I think House will have the most action, which makes House public, which means he's not going to win.
They're public.
So there we go. That's it for our big draft. This. Check it out. I think we're calling Ringer 48-hour frenzy. What do you want to call it?
I think that's good. Yeah.
And then we might do, we were talking about maybe something with the 16th hole number of people that hit the water.
Oh, the Ringer Rinse.
Thursday, Friday, something like that.
Good times.
That's where we go. All right, we're going to take one more break and then come back with some more master stories. And now for a special part of today's show, Forward Thinkers of the Game, brought to you by Workday, in which we discuss the players who brought something fresh to the court. When you're a forward thinker, the only thing you're afraid of is business as usual. And Workday is the AI platform that transforms the way you manage people and money today so you can transform tomorrow. Workday, moving business forever forward. You know, they asked me to talk about a player that made me think of what I just said. Steph Curry. If you think 21st century, what NBA player impacted professional basketball and basketball the most? The three-point shooting, the skill that Steph brought to it, not only revolutionized how they played basketball in the NBA, but then inspired this whole new generation of players in high school and college, and even affected the women's game. Players like Caitlin Clark. It all basically starts with Steph when his career really starts taking off with the Warriors in 2013 and 14. And it changed the geometry of basketball. So that's one example. Anyway, you can learn more about how Workday is changing everything at workday.com. All right, now it's just the four of us. Nathan and House have Fairway Rolling. They're taping tomorrow. They're doing their big Masters preview. So I want people to listen to that. What you can't get on Fairway Rolling is what it was like to walk the course with Baby today.
What a day. What a day.
So,
Baby does... Was it fun?
It was a lot of fun.
It really was. I had a great time with you guys. I really did.
Yeah, because you wouldn't shut up. You talked about your shot and your shoulder and your strokes and how you were as a 25-year-old golfer.
I really was. You're right. I was
The walking would have been easier if he wasn't.
But, you know, like talking golf with House.
Yeah.
I think we have a very similar handicap and also a somewhat similar passion for the game.
So he was listening more.
He
than
was
talking.
Very yeah. intently listening. Yeah.
No, I don't think he was intently. Listen, this was a real highlight of my day because I didn't know that you were such a golf lunatic.
Oh, I'm
number
a
one.
Lunatic. I'm...
And number two, I kept on walking in front of you guys with Sal here, and I kept on telling Sal, I was like, this is insane.
Yeah.
Because you spoke nonstop, relentlessly.
This is not a compliment,
entire golf
baby.
History of yeah. how far you would hit every club in your bag at different ages of your
yes,
life.
I did. It was like the evolution, you know, the evolution of my game from age 12 to 60.
It was like a sports documentary narrative series.
Right.
That nobody signed up for.
I didn't mean to annoy you guys with it. I just get so excited when
He's upset now.
No, I'm not upset. I when I walk those hallowed grounds.
Yeah.
I get like this like energy yeah. about it. I can't help myself. I'm like obsessed.
How do you know that House was enjoying listening to this?
I think House was. I think House really loves listening to anyone talk about golf.
You got to give him a break tomorrow.
All right, tomorrow. I'll walk with you guys tomorrow.
Well, here's the thing. House. It's hard to keep up with Simmons.
You can't keep up with Simmons,
so it's going to have to be someone else.
His pace is very brisk.
But he's talking about his golf game and everything, and this would go for 40 minutes, and then we'd get a break from Baby. Like, oh, thank God. We don't have to listen to the golf talk. He'd go to the bathroom or he'd go to smoke somewhere. Or he'd go to a fucking pro shop for the fourth time in a day. And then he'd keep us waiting for four. Like, so half our day was spent waiting for Baby.
Right.
Well, I only dropped, 4K today? That wasn't bad.
It's right around the over-under.
Yeah.
Well, so Sal,
yeah.
Baby does this thing where he's convinced everybody who's ever met him knows who he is. Most famously, when he accosted Oprah Winfrey in Jimmy's dressing room.
Right.
And did Oprah, you remember me. You remember me. And she didn't. And then he's like, no, Oprah, you remember me.
Right.
And it's a famous story. So we were wondering if he would do that today in the golf course. And you take it from here.
There were a couple, right? It was Cam Smith, who's on my team.
Yes,
Because it was a Wake Forest connection. Your daughter went to Wake Forest.
Two of my daughters did, yes.
And he was eating a banana after his tee shot. And what'd you do?
Well, so can I get the background? Yeah, yeah. So 17, and he's like, I'm gonna get Cam Smith's attention.
Yes.
Yeah, with the Wake Forest thing.
Yes, I
did. And we're like, baby, definitely don't do that. He's doing a practice round. He's trying to figure out distances. He's not going to acknowledge you. He's like, no. I think I can get him.
Yes.
So he's walking by eating a banana. And what happens?
Cam. Wake Forest. Wait. Oh, I said, Cam.
We're rooting for you.
Best of luck this week. Didn't look up from peeling
his banana. Working on the banana. Right.
And as I said, Wake Forest guy, Wake Forest connection. He continued to peel the banana and stick it in his mouth and look the other way.
He seemed like he paused for a split second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
he at least might have paused. And then there was a follow-up.
Well, so then there was another one that I thought was a better one. So there, Rory McIlroy. Chang, how dubious were you of this When Davey said, I can get Rory to come over
I don't know,
on the 18th.
I can't express how I felt truly because I didn't know I'd feel embarrassment on that hole because you said you were going to do it and I didn't think you were going to do it with Cam, but you did. And it was embarrassing, quite frankly, for you.
Yeah.
And us, because we were there.
I wasn't embarrassed at all. I was delighted.
He'd be lucky to know me.
I knew you weren't joking that you were really going to talk to Rory because you have had interactions.
I have had multiple interactions with him.
I don't want to say
we're neighbors at the Bears Club, but we're neighbors at the Bears Club. Mm.
So
and he's always been a wonderful guy to me and very kind. He's a gentleman.
Can we unwind that for a second?
Yes.
I don't want to say I'm neighbors with him at the Bears Club, but I'm neighbors with him at the Bears Club.
Yeah, because it sounds so ridiculous. His house is so incredibly beautiful.
Does that mean you're neighbors with him at the Bears Club?
I mean, he's around the corner. Yeah, there's only 80 houses.
It sounds like neighbor.
But he's kind of a neighbor. That doesn't mean he knows you.
No, I didn't say he knows me well, but he doesn't know me well, but when he sees me, he knows who I am. How's that?
So that Bears Clubhouse, that was like the fourth Colbert extension with like when you try to assign the fees to the houses.
My den is the Simmons wing. What are you complaining about? Sal is my outdoor grill.
How dare you? That just means you're a shitty agent. That's what I mean.
So go ahead.
Who is he playing with? I can't remember. Oh, amateur, I believe.
Yeah.
And he hits a bomb of a drive on 18. Totally. And, you know, to Bill's credit, he got us to look at how narrow and how stressful it is to actually play 18. The TV doesn't really do it justice.
There's like five things you kind of have to see at the Masters. And one of them is you have to stand behind the 18th tee to see
that was so good.
how hard that is to just thread the needle with the amount of pressure that you might be facing on 18. Right. It's like,
it's easy to shake.
Dead uphill.
Giant trap. Only really one spot to hit it and 19 things can go wrong. Not to mention all the people lined up feel like.
And it's 18. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Rory bombs his drive right down the middle, 300 plus. And, you know, you say you're going to talk to Rory and you have like this prime spot as he's going to walk past.
Yes.
And I had to turn my back to you.
We backed off and gave him.
We backed off.
Let me give you some space, baby.
I just couldn't see this car crash that was going to happen.
So, Sal, do you want to reenact what Baby said?
The other side of it. Imagine if he came over, how great that fucking moment would have been, right? But, wouldn't that have been cool?
But what did you say? You said, Rory. Baby doll.
Yes, I did.
That was it. It was just three words.
That's exactly what happened.
And he heard real. He didn't. Not only didn't he stop, I think he sped up when he heard baby doll.
He cracked a little smile. I don't know. Maybe I'm imagining it.
Like, oh, this is my prison cellmate from 715.
So you were hoping.
I had just, in my defense.
Yeah.
He wins the Players 2 weeks ago or three. How many weeks ago is that? 3 weeks ago now.
And you guys are neighbors.
And I saw him in the men's grill. And I, of course, congratulated him profusely. And
like a thousand people
did.
And
he was sitting with Shane Lowry at the table. And I talked to him for a minute. And, you know, did the baby doll thing. And
what is the baby doll thing?
I think we saw it today. That's the baby doll thing. He calls someone's name and they don't respond. That's the
big one. I thought maybe it was semi-fresh in his mind.
Yeah.
So that's why I had a modicum of confidence that he was going to like, oh, baby doll. Oh, okay, I'll look, whatever. Didn't work out that way.
But, no. Well, as it turns out, these guys are practice rounding and trying to figure out their shots and the distances on every drive.
You picked Rory.
The baby doll didn't really trigger him at all. Really,
wouldn't you have been a little weirded out? You picked Rory. If he like was so unfocused that he did come over.
I would have been concerned.
Of course. I feel like they're actually, I know they're, but like he's played this tournament, you know, 20 times, 15 times. It's loose out there in these practice rounds.
All right, so he just doesn't like you.
Yeah, I guess.
So 0-2 is the legacy.
I was 0-2.
Sal, can you tell the origin?
There's always tomorrow.
Can you tell the origin of the baby doll story? Because you named him baby doll.
I don't think there's much to it other than he says baby doll. He calls everyone baby doll. And I thought this was funny. And then so I started calling him baby doll.
That's
right?
Exactly right.
I mean, it's not fair that he gets to call everyone baby doll and we don't call him baby doll back. That was really it. There's not much to
you
it.
You are the guy who
but to me,
it.
This is like, I don't know why no one did this. I met him 25 years ago. Someone should have done this 40 years ago.
True.
This is like wheels on luggage. Like luggage always should have had wheels, right? Not
yes.
1978, 81.
I like
right?
that. I like
Thank
that
you.
Metaphor.
Yeah, well, that's baby. It. You should have been baby doll.
So you were hoping because everyone calls you baby doll and you call everybody baby doll.
Correct.
Yeah. Somewhere in Rory's head as he's figuring out the course, how his swing is, mm-hmm. the distances, that the baby doll would trigger like a Pavlovian response.
Yes, I did.
And he'd be like,
that.
Oh, that guy I really like.
Right. Yeah, yeah, totally. Isn't that insane of me? But yes, that was what was going through
baby
my
doll,
fucked
I,
up mind.
I have to say, upon reflection, it's your performance today was inspirational.
Oh, that's right? why I love you, Chang. Thank you.
You have to try. Failure is not an option.
Right.
You just got to try. You don't know what you're going to get. And that's the baby doll magic is just not being afraid.
That's it.
Right.
You gotta,
is that the Wayne Gretzky quote? You miss 100% right. of the shots you don't take?
That's exactly it.
You know, and I know he's a really like decent guy when you talk to him. He's a gentleman beyond belief. And
why should we believe you?
No, because he just is. And like, he's not some, you know, disengaged guy, and he's always very polite and engaged. And so I thought maybe, and it was relatively recent that we bullshitted, and
right.
0-2. Didn't what can work. I say? I tried,
but that wasn't really the highlight. Sort of the highlight for me was we were talking to a member of Augusta National, and somehow you just let it be known that you were a board member of Wake Forest. Right off the bat.
Absolutely.
Which had nothing to do with the conversation at all.
You were so proud of that.
What, why did I bring that
up? Well, because you brought up
that. Should I bring that up? No, I'm like, you're right. I did bring it up.
I hate to add context to this, but we're talking about the LPGA and Wake Forest golf.
Yes.
Golf. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for the refresher.
Yeah.
Yes. And he was talking about the ladies amateur being held at Augusta,
which is picking up steam here.
Which
I think one of the things I learned today is baby's very proud to be on the board at Wake Forest.
It's an honor. It really is. It's an amazing.
You weren't shy about it. You told the person who made us a pimento cheese sandwich about it. Pretty much everybody else.
I wonder, what is it? Your grandkids, your family, Wake Forest board, John Stewart, and then way, way lower, all of those other clients.
Okay,
Jimmy's like
that.
Not That's way a, down.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Jimmy's under John Stewart.
No, Jimmy's, of course.
Yeah.
Close.
But this Wake Forest thing shot to the top. I mean, you were
Remember
really...
when The Bachelor, Matt James, was for like...
Right.
A year.
Matt's the
man. No, when he was like right there with Stewart.
Right.
It's like neck and neck.
He was
You were dropping his name everywhere.
Gaining. Absolutely. Well, hey, you're only The Bachelor once, right?
There's one more baby doll. There are like so many baby doll stories. It's been a true
Tuesday.
Joy getting to
It's
spend
only been
a day.
One day. We
have
3 days.
It just is amazing. It feels like
days.
Christmas.
What's this going to be?
So you disappeared quite often. You got in trouble for smoking cigarettes. That was also a highlight.
Okay, fair enough.
But the real highlight was you disappeared. And I think amongst the five of us, we're like, what's going on here? Why are you not here?
Right.
And you come back and we all had to sort of eat crow because you bought us all hats.
Yes, I did.
And then
it was worth the wait.
But can you describe what happened?
Well,
because
we waited like a half hour for him, right? And I'm like, what the? And
he needed
gone
a hat because
the
sun was
shop.
Hot. And for some reason, he was scared about skin cancer for once.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And decided to get a hat.
I actually wanted this exact
hat. Is that what it was?
Yeah. Because they didn't have it at the.
He was in the pro shop for like an hour and a half. And then 40 minutes later, has to shop even more.
Yes,
so I
did.
Worse than my wife. Then he comes out, and like Chang says, he starts throwing, like gives us all hats. He's like, yeah, take a hat. He spent like $250 on hats.
We're talking to some fans of
Bills. This happening in Bills. A guy smoking comes up, talks to Bill, says hi. And baby
I like
doll.
That guy.
And I don't know how you said it, but you had an extra hat because so many of us had bought hats already 20 minutes before. And you throw it at the guy, and you're like, here, you're smoking, take a hat.
Yeah. Here, have a hat. You almost stacked the cigarette out of his mouth. Yeah.
And he's like, you almost hit me in the head. And you're like, well, you got a fucking free hat.
Yeah, what are you complaining about? I mean, come on, dude. Will a fucking hat hurt your neck? What happened? You know?
I think one of the masters is so polite.
Yeah.
And when people would get mad at Baby for smoking in areas that you weren't supposed to smoke in,
right?
It wasn't like a, sir, you're going to have to put that out. It was more like a disappointed, sir, can you please?
Yes, they're all
can
you, so
are smoking areas we could lead
kind.
You to.
Yes, yeah. there's a designated smoking area over here. I can escort you.
Yeah.
It's like, I just put it out already, okay? You don't need to escort me. I'll be lighting one in about 5 minutes anyway. So, it's
baby, what's the worst, most depressing designated smoking area you've ever smoked in? Have you smoked in those airport ones where it's like almost you're
Europe where they used to have the like
it's you're almost smoking. In absolutely, like Andy Dufresne, like solitary
it's
confinement.
It's literally a smoke chamber.
In a coma.
Yeah.
Yes, I have smoked in there. Of course. I used to go like say to myself, why don't they have this in America? You know, I love that they have this in London.
Smoke chambers?
Yeah, smoke chambers. it's like they all have pet right. walking relief areas. Why not have smoking areas?
Did you used to smoke like on airplanes, trains, everything?
Just going to ask.
Absolutely.
Really?
And did you ever like get in an argument with anybody?
You know, not really, no. Because it was
legal.
Legal.
Can you imagine someone lighting up next to you on a plane?
Imagine sitting next to Baby on a train.
Oh my God.
You're taking like the Excella from New York to Boston and he's just like lighting up.
But those
you're like, oh, this cologne. I can't take this 4 hours. And what the fuck? What is this? A cigarette? What is he doing to me?
Those were designated smoking sections. So if you were all the planes, I don't even understand. Not the planes, but like the trains. If you were in a smoking car, you know, not my problem at that point, right?
That was an amazing era where, because I would take the train back and forth between my mom and my dad.
Yeah.
And you're going to walk to the cafe car and you just walk through the smoking car and it's just like lung cancer for
Well, the 10 seconds. Insane were the planes where one row behind
was not smoking.
Right. Yeah. You could smoke pipes, cigars, cigarettes. And if you one row behind, it's like, this is insane.
You're just getting people would use the actual ashtray in the armrest.
Absolutely. I love that freaking. I love that ashtray. I really did. They had them on the old cars too, remember? But you were asking me about
most depressing smoking places.
Depressing?
Yeah.
Or
because sometimes the smokers get relegated to the kids' table of life.
Yeah, it's not fair.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the idea that I could smoke in the office up until like wasn't even that long by 19. In 2000, you could smoke in the office. So 25 years ago, you could, even as an assistant sitting in a cubicle in common areas. And I used to run like a fan under my desk to just kind of like spread the smoke. But that was insane to think that you could do that. Now in New York City, it's 25 feet away from the building. So if you smoke near a building, you often get reprimanded.
You've paid a smoking fee in a rental car like 50 times, right?
Yeah. Of course I have. And hotels.
Good for you, man.
Baby gets offended if there's some sort of penalty for smoking in a rental car. He just assumes.
For the percentage of how many rental cars I've had that I've smoked in and the times I've been nailed, I've done very, very
Chang,
well.
What was it like to have a cigarette that your wife probably shouldn't know about with Baby Doll last night?
You know, every time I see Baby Doll, Baby gives me a cigarette, it's just a joyous occasion. I sucked that thing down, and it was awesome.
Yeah, thank you, and you love that I have Marlboro Reds, right?
I mean, listen, the only way you'd be cooler is if you smoke filterless cigarettes.
Yeah, when are you
like
the
Italians? You know,
yeah.
Step it up.
They get your fingers yellow. That's the problem with them. Otherwise, I kind of like
Baby's enough colors. Yeah, he doesn't need to have yellow fingers.
What is it?
You have enough colors going on already.
I need my orange fingers yellow.
Look, they're pretty good for smoking.
My fingers be orange.
No, like another thing that happened, it's been total joy.
By the way, is he going to come on Thursday night too? We'll probably have 1,000 Baby Dolls.
So it's going to be the whole podcast. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, The Ringer has a great podcast about TV shows and White Lotus.
Yeah.
I think last night I almost pissed my pants because before we all went to bed, we were watching the last episode of season 3, White Lotus, all over again.
Yes.
And, it's amazing. And oh, fuck. I just couldn't stop laughing because I think that we need to have a alt cast of you.
A Manning cast? That's the baby cast?
The baby cast.
Not safe for work.
It's like a rewatchables, but live.
Because you were the only one seeing it live. Yes,
I'm not
I hadn't seen that episode.
I'm not sure live would be the best idea, but maybe
just it would need about 16 or 17 hours.
Yeah, so we watched,
but I think it would be good. Yeah,
we
watched
last night. We'd all seen it, but baby hadn't seen it, so we watched White Lotus with you. There was a couple
wild. I
liked when he told the guy to jump at the end. Tim Ratliff is looking out.
You were he's going to make them drink that shit? What the fuck are you trying to kill your kids
it's
for?
Like you forgot.
You've been trying to kill yourself for 9 episodes. Just fucking jump. Get it over with.
It's like you forgot that we were in the room with you watching.
Yes, yeah. I did.
You were so
I had a few glasses of wine. I was tired from the day. Mm. And
yeah, there was a lot of strays on the White Lotus cast.
Yeah, yeah. But,
Guy Talk, you put some chest hair in him during the show.
Oh, yeah, Guy Talk.
Told him to grow a pair.
Pussy. I mean, I've never seen a bigger pussy hold a gun, you know? It's like, come on.
man. What other TV are you watching, babe, before we go? Any other favorites?
He watches from the couch.
I watched the first 2 episodes of Mobland. I thought it was amazing. Oh. Have you seen Mobland yet?
I haven't seen it yet. How about 1923?
Nah, I haven't seen that.
A lot of smoking in that show.
I loved Mobland.
Okay.
Yes. Second episode. You know, a lot of setup in episode 1. And it's good. Second episode, you see where it's going. It's awesome. Tom Hardy is incredible.
Who for your money is the best smoker in movies or TV?
Great question.
An actual smoker.
Yeah.
Who pulls it like off? In real life?
No.
Who pulls off smoking the best?
Yeah. I'll tell you, Brad Pitt's pretty good at it.
What?
In movies. Doesn't he smoke in like in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
He does like the turns the hand.
I like the way he smokes in it.
Damon, we just did Good Will Hunting for rewatchables, and Damon's really good in that movie.
Is he? Okay.
And Cole Hauser in that movie. Chris Ryan did a whole thing about
how
he gets rid of a cigarette, grabs a beer, and waves them for the car all in one motion.
Oh,
it's really
very good.
It's really good.
But De Niro is
De Niro, to me, is the GOAT. De Niro and Goodfellas, the best ever.
Yes. Okay, fair enough. I'll go with that. Yes.
Remember the scene when he's sizing up Maury when he decides to kill Maury?
He's just kind of staring him down, taking a slow drag. Yeah.
There's been some bad smokers, too.
All right. Mm. Who would be an example?
Out of movies we've done in rewatchables, like there's a really tough Keanu Reeves hardball scene.
Oh, really?
He's trying to smoke. He's like a degenerate, but it's clear.
You're right, though.
But Tom Cruise is the worst. I mean,
you can tell who the real non-smokers are, who have never really smoked in their life, who are just smoking because the character.
I think Keanu's a real smoker, though.
You think?
Yeah,
he screwed up the hardball thing.
Mm.
I don't know. In Constantine, he smokes a lot.
The people like the Cruise type of people are always my favorites.
Could you be brought on as a consultant?
You know
who
was a great smoker? A smoking consultant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
sure? I'd love to.
Like, they have doctors for ER.
Is that a union job? Because I'm
in, think it kind of is, yeah.
Leonardo in Django Unchained.
Yeah.
Playing Candy was his last name, but I can't remember his first name.
Not a great character.
But he smoked with that cigarette holder.
Yeah.
And man, he was good at it. He was really good at
a cigarette holder.
I have tried them when I was a kid. They're fucking ridiculous. I mean, I don't even know what that is. It's like,
hey baby, did you ever go through a phase where you rolled your own cigarettes?
No.
You never did?
No. Yeah, how could you recreate a Marlboro, a work of fucking art? You know? You know my old joke.
I'm tearing
right?
up there.
No.
You know the what old
is
joke.
It? Is it offensive?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. No, you know, baby doll, how much you smoke? I smoke a lot. No, seriously, how much you smoke? I smoke a lot. No, like, seriously, how much do you smoke? Well, let me put it to you this way. I go through 2 lighters a day.
There you go.
That was a Bill Hicks line that I adopted.
Oh, you just said that's your joke.
And no, well, I adopted it. May he rest in peace.
Yes.
But it does get people off when you do that joke. They stop asking how much you smoke. It just diffuses the whole thing.
I'm not going to stop. We asked you yesterday,
joke.
What celebrity did you have the most cigarettes with over the last 35 years? And Dennis Leary's name came up.
Dennis
Bill
Henry
Hicks
was up there. Hicks was up there.
Who was the one we decided?
Oh, Chappelle.
Chappelle.
Yeah. Oh, tons of cigarettes with Chappelle.
I mean,
well.
Chappelle is one like the
He's
one of the all time
greatest smoker
right.
of this generation.
Better smoker God or comedian?
Him. Oh wow!
Right.
I mean, I'm going to go with comedian because that's a real talent, and he's
don't sell yourself short.
But what I love about Chappelle is he smokes. Everywhere he goes, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Hotel rooms, wherever, lobbies of hotels, Studio 8H on SNL.
He's like
it doesn't
Snoop.
Matter if it's a fire song,
with cigarettes. Yeah,
he's always smoking. Comedy clubs, you're not sure. supposed to smoke in there anymore.
Right.
He's got a cigarette going everywhere, and may God have mercy on the soul of anybody who tells him put that cigarette.
And you've there. Actually spent real time with Chappelle, so if you did the ship. Dave, it's Baby Doll. He would actually stop and come over.
Oh, come on. Yo, he'd come over for... Dave, I've known since...
I think you should have thrown a hat at Rory like you did that other guy. And then maybe he would have gotten his attention
Imagine.
That way.
Don't give me ideas tomorrow. There's always tomorrow.
Baby, before we go, what is your single favorite thing about Augusta? And try to turn toward these guys so you're on the camera at least a little bit. just getting the side of Baby's head for 20 minutes.
Business. I have no idea.
But I'm not a talent.
Hold on. Let me think for a second because I love so much of it.
Well, I'll talk to Chang about it as you think of your answer for 2 minutes. Chang, what's your favorite thing about Augusta? Because you're like a naturally kind of pessimistic guy.
Yeah.
We've been friends for a long time. This place
and you
really
see where I'm like happy.
But yeah, this place like really
you said a whole thing in the car on the way to the course about how incredible Augusta and the operation and the whole thing. You've kind of been inside the gates.
I'm one of the only person that's ever had behind the scenes access because I filmed some stuff in 2019 when Tiger won. And I think that it's number one, the best sporting event you can go to in America.
Yes.
It's the best run operation.
100%.
Business or anything otherwise. Maybe out there.
It's flawless.
Everything is done with intention and it's executed at a high level.
Yes.
And I think it's just, I'm happy here. I just am. And I'm not normally, as Bill knows.
I'm right with you. I mean, it's golf heaven. When you step on that course, it's like no other.
But you
course.
Don't even have to like golf to
no,
appreciate
you don't.
It.
You don't. But if you love golf like we do, it's just, it's so unique. It's such a different, everything about it is so, it's like if you died and went to heaven and that was.
Like Field of Dreams cornfield.
It really is that. And also like, I just love being around anything golf. And that is kind of this is the cradle and apex of golf and golf fans. And it's just my whole vibe, you know? I love
it. I was thinking about it today because I'd been to, I went to the US Open. But I went to a couple golf tournaments in the last couple of years.
Sure.
And all these other courses, like basically every other course that has a tournament, they're also, the tournament comes in and out. It's the course isn't built for the tournament, it's built for 52 weeks a year of having members. Yes. And then they kind of shoehorn the tournament into it. And there'll be porta potties and weird cart paths, and the parking's weird and things are disjointed. All this place cares about is this week, right? I mean, they have other stuff. They have the members and all that stuff, but it's all like a long game for this one
Correct.
Week.
It all
and
boils
every
down
single
to
thing
it.
Has to be perfect from the moment you show up to when you walk toward the thing and you go through the gates. Every single thing you see, they've really put thought into. And I appreciate that.
I think it was like a combination. It has an immaculate feel of Disneyland and like Central Park. And there's, like you said, and I think it's because they're not different events moving in and out. There's no wasted space. Forget about the greens. You turn a corner and you're going to see a shade of green you've never seen before. That's great too. But even the pathways and everything like you're talking about, like it doesn't seem like there's any wasted space. It's all beautiful.
We talk about this every time we come, but the no phone thing is actually a real advantage. Even Sal, we were worried about Sal.
I think I did okay.
Yeah. Sal had withdrawal for the first like
you
two
did.
Hours.
Well, I went to my pocket like seven times in the first
you really
half
were
hour,
like
but.
Jonesing for
and
that.
And then
phone.
I felt like, you know, it was a little White Lotus-y when Saxon starts reading halfway through the season.
Right.
And it's like, maybe there's more.
Interesting.
Maybe that. Maybe
that's funny.
Maybe I can test myself.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
And it's like you were like, maybe I don't have to try to figure out how to bet on this practice round right
you're
now.
Right. You have to like just kind of like acclimate yourself to where you were. And yeah, like yeah. accept it and then go, okay, I'm
it helped here. That we were all talking to each other, making each other laugh. It's like when someone's sick and they're going to vomit. You're like, all right, if you talk to this person enough,
they're not going
to
get them out of it.
I don't have to focus on it. But
Chang, were you disappointed Sal didn't eat more?
What are you talking? What?
Number one.
On the course. I mean, on the course.
But for those that don't know, Sal is not a big drinker.
Right.
And the fact that he started the day with the Bloody Mary, I was like,
right.
This is an auspicious sign.
Yes.
It's going to be a good week, number one. Two, he ate a lot of food.
Thank you.
It was disgusting. Yeah.
Thank you.
And then we hit seafood. The course.
Yeah.
You ate a pimento cheese sandwich, and I knew you were full. I knew you were disgustingly full,
right.
But you still wolfed it down. And I was like, this guy
and an oatmeal is
bringing, you're bringing your A game.
Yeah.
For $1.50, he's not wasting that.
People need to know the food here is amazing. It's affordable. You could buy 12 beers for $12. Where could you do that anywhere else?
Right. Yeah, it's only $3,000 to get in, but then they give, you know, for cheese and Wonder Bread, they charge it out.
That's what makes the Masters so different. Yeah. Touch on what you said, Bill, which is, you know, it's the only, obviously the only major that's always in the same location, right? So that alone sets it apart from all the other majors. And like everyone's just so fucking happy to be there.
Yeah.
Because it is expensive and you have to, you know, get to it. And like it's a bucket list place that at least half those people, at least half are there for the first time. And everybody's just like, holy shit. Pinch me. I did it.
Well, listen, I'll have to say is, as the great Carrie Coon said in White Lotus, I'm happy to have a seat at the table. But I am going to make a mess at that seat with bread and rice and cheese and everything else when I get up. Thanks for having us.
I so hope Sal finishes last in the picks so that we can load down a
good chance.
Pimento, pulled pork,
Egg salad. Chicken biscuit.
What else?
BLT. It's the Masters Club, which Masters is like a BLT. Club.
I mean, that sounds great. Now, I hope I finish last too now. You put it that way.
We're going to be back Thursday for more stuff.
Yeah.
Chang, you have a beautiful face. Sal, you have a beautiful life.
What about
baby? You're just beautiful in general.
So are you, baby.
Thank you. Thank you to you three. Thanks to House and Nathan as well. Thanks to Gahao and Kyle
and
Eduardo for helping us out today in the on the pod. And we're going to be back on Thursday. Don't forget to check out the Prestige TV podcast and the Rewatchables as well. If you missed White Lotus, if you missed our Rewatchables, we did on The Saint with Val Kilmer. And I hope you're checking out Celtic City on Max as well. We will see you on Thursday. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. For Kansas and affiliation with Kansas Star Casino or 18 plus and present in D.C. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. Call 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut or visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Hope is here. Visit Gambling Helpline, ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.